This is episode 231 on November 16th, 2017.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
I'm Dave Odger.
Nobody else is doing it with you, Joe, just you.
Yeah, no, Dave said, I'm Dave Podner, but he was so far away that we couldn't hear him.
Oh, okay. Well, in any case, I am Matt Hoffman.
Yeah, woohoo! This is what happens when Skype doesn't work. All right, Dave, I don't know what you did, but all of a sudden you went to a million miles away.
Come back to us, Dave.
Can you hear me better now?
Nope.
I think he's in the car and he left his phone on the roof.
Yeah, let's see here.
I'm blown away.
Did you pull your headphones out just slightly?
No.
Nope. Jiggle it.
Let's see. The thing is, they're wireless.
Oh, they're wireless. Did it jump to something else?
All right. Well, this is a riveting podcast.
Okay. Give me 1 second.
Thanks for tuning in live, everyone. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. While he's figuring that out, why don't you ask me how I've been?
Oh, Matt.
Okay. Can you hear me any better?
Yes, a lot better.
Okay. I went with the microphone for the phone, and using, thankfully, I have an old enough phone. I
actually have a. No, that's not a lot better.
Well, no. It got worse again.
Oh. Boy, that's weird. I'm actually just talking into the phone right now. And all I did was pick up the phone and make sure it was plugged in.
Huh. Well, go ahead and keep on working on that. And
okay.
And Matt, we will talk. Matt, what you been up to, man?
What have I been up to? That's a great question. Well, I think the last time that I was on, whenever that was, a month ago or something like that, I think I was complaining about how I was hardly getting to go out and shoot for whatever reason. I don't know what my problem was, if I just wasn't inspired or if I was too busy or what my deal was. But I'll tell you, man, over the last few weeks, I've been able to shoot a lot, and I've been really thrilled because I kind of thought that the fall was just going to pass me by. It just seemed like we weren't getting the colors that you would want to get.
Yeah.
And I wasn't seeming to like have any plans to get out anywhere where there might be good color. And then all of a sudden, just everything just exploded with color, and everywhere that I was, there was like somewhere cool to go photograph. So I was just able to make time and get a lot of fall color pictures. So I'm a happy camper.
Nice.
And so I got to tell you this too, Joe and Dave, if you're done crackling.
I'm probably not, but
I kind of wish that Greg was here on the show so that I could talk to him about this too. But so I am going to upgrade my iPhone to one of the new phones. I currently have a 6S Plus, and still a good phone, but it seems like it's kind of acting weird. Like every now and then there's like some little quirks I don't like, and I honestly think it's iOS 11. I just think iOS 11 just kind of sucks. But
yeah,
in any case, I said this before, you know, I wanted to wait until the iPhone 10 came out in stores so that I could go see it in person, because it was just one of those things where like I just couldn't like watch the keynote or like look at it online and be like Yeah, for sure. That's the phone I want.
Yeah.
It was just too different. I needed to be able to see it. And, you know, after kind of listening to Greg and his reasons for getting the 8 Plus, you know, the difference in price and whatever other reasons he had for getting the 8 Plus, I was like, yeah, you know, that kind of makes sense. And I'm not sure if I'm really ready to give up like the home button and go to this whole new, you know, way of using the phone. Well, I went into the Apple Store on Saturday, this past Saturday, and I left the Apple Store about 10 minutes later.
Oh.
And I had decided, yeah, the iPhone 10 is for me.
Wow.
I don't know when I'm going to have one, but maybe in a month or so,
Nice.
I will have a shiny new space gray 256 gigabyte iPhone 10, and then I do intend to get a Moment case for it. So yesterday, I think it was, Moment announced their case for the iPhone 10, and it's like a battery case, so I'll probably get that one.
Wow.
And then today I saw that they now have a trade-in program where you could trade in your old lenses to get money towards getting something new from them. So like
Oh,
for
sweet.
instance, here's what what I'm thinking. Like right now I have the Moment wide angle lens, the original wide angle, and the telephoto lens. So I've two lenses. I could send back each one of those and get a $25 credit for each one. So that $50 credit to Moment.
Oh, wow.
So what I
That's
would do
nice.
then is I would buy a case and a Moment wide angle lens, because the new wide angle lens just leaps and bounds, blows away the old wide angle lens. It's just tremendously sharper. Just everything looks just so much more awesome with the new wide angle lens that Moment has out. And there's really no reason for me to get a telephoto lens now if I'm going to have, you know, one of the new phones with the dual lenses. You know, it's got telephoto built in, so I really don't need a second lens.
Right.
You
What
know,
is
so,
the case and the lens go for?
well, the so they All they did yesterday was say, we're going to have this case. And they kind of showed what it looked like. They put out like a video, just like a bunch of, you know, like four guys that work for them, these young 20-something hipster guys that like went on a little Pacific Northwest, couple day drive around the Pacific Northwest and shooting and whatnot.
Yes.
And so you could kind of see it there, but I don't know any pricing or anything yet on the case, but their cases are pretty reasonably priced, so I wouldn't expect it to be too expensive.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm trying to see if there was a anything that would say how much it is, but I guess, wait, so that's different. So they're gonna have a battery pack case, and did they say like how much thicker that was gonna possibly add to?
No, they didn't say really. I really honestly don't even care.
Yeah. Well, the phones are so thin as they are that, you know, it like okay, I had the only battery pack that I had for my iPhone was for my 4S, which is thick enough, but it almost doubled the size of my 4S, and that was the who did I get it from? I forget.
Yeah, I don't know, like Mophie.
No, it was OtterBox. That's right.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, it wasn't Mophie, it was OtterBox. And so it was a great a power pack, but it did increase the, you know, significantly the size of what I was carrying. But you know, now as these phones are getting thinner and thinner, and battery technology is getting better, I don't think it's going to be that much, not to the significance of what OtterBox had, but.
Yeah. The thing I like about the Moment cases too, is that, one, you don't have to put like an adhesive mount on your phone to attach the Moment lenses. And then, they're generally pretty nice looking cases, and, they offer pretty good protection. I mean, I think the protection that they offer is just as good as any other case, really. And then the thing that I think makes them a little bit unique is that their cases offer like the electronic shutter button.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes your phone operate more almost like a point and shoot. Like if you half press the shutter button, you get like the autofocus going. And it works more like a camera. And I just think that's pretty cool.
I like that feature. And, I think that is, I think that's smart to be able to do that.
It used to be where, when they first came out with that, it only worked with their app.
Oh,
so like if you wanted to use that little half press function, to get the autofocus going, you had to shoot in the Moment app, which isn't a bad app at all. It's actually a pretty nice app. I like it. But now there's some other apps that have that functionality too. Like I think Pro Camera and some of the other ones work as well. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, Oloclip, they wanted you to, use their app because there was a lot of lens correction that you're able to do with it. But, I wish that you could incorporate those things into the native camera that.
So I mentioned those stick on mounts for the lenses. Greg says that the version 2 lenses only work with the cases now, that there's no stick on mounts for the version 2 lenses.
Okay.
Good to know.
Well, I like the fact that they're offering money for lenses. I wonder how much, if there's a difference with, say, selling them privately than, trading them in, if you're able to get that much or more for them.
I don't know. I'm not even going to bother trying.
Yeah.
I was thinking about trying to sell my, I still have my stylus kit. It's got the case and the wide angle lens and a telephoto lens. And, I forget what all I have. I have like a,
did you get the dash mount?
I have like the little dash, the vent clip or whatever. Yeah. I have like a bunch of accessories. I have it sitting on my desk here, like in the original box.
Oh, wow.
I'm just going to throw it out right now on the podcast right now. I will give it to somebody.
Ooh.
If they want to just send me their address, I will send it to you.
Dude, I'll take the dash mount. Or are you going to just put the whole kit together and send it out?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Okay.
So, there is a caveat with this, though. I got to pull this out of the box to look at it because it's been so long since I've looked at it. Now, there is something wrong with it. I do believe the wide-angle lens part of the mount broke, so it still works. It's just you have to be super careful with it so it doesn't fall off and you lose it.
And that's for the 6S Plus?
It is, yeah. This is a kit for the 6S Plus. That's what the case fits. Holy cow, I cannot get this box apart. This packaging is very good. But But yeah, it's the Z Prime kit by Stylus.
Nice. Yeah, it's funny. I'm looking at my Stylus case, and a lot of the paint that was on the metal part, most of it, I would say, especially at the bottom, I would say over half of it's gone. And you know, some of the mat of the case is rubbing off, and it's becoming shiny. It's like it's well worn.
Yeah, you know, I was really excited about Stylus, like when they came out with the Z Prime kit. The whole thing seemed pretty good. But now, I don't know, I'm not as excited about Stylus anymore. I think they're more of like a phone accessory company rather than like a iPhone photography accessory company.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they have all these like goofy products now.
Yep. Yeah, I'm curious to see what's going to happen. I keep going back and forth on whether or not I'll upgrade to the 8 or not. I'm still happy with the 7. But you know, it's just, I don't know. Maybe if I go with the 8, I'll be able to keep the case, this case with it. I'm not going to buy another Stylus case if I upgrade to something that won't work. It just, you know, I don't want to buy, you know, any more lens accessories right now. But we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I can understand that. Yeah, all right. So I'm looking at this now. I still have both of the so these Stylus lenses, they came with lens covers that are magnetic, like they magnetically stick to the lenses, but they do have like caps that flip open.
Yeah.
And on the telephoto lens, the hinge on the cap is cracked.
Oh.
So it still works. It's just that the cap kind of sits like ever so slightly cockeyed when it's closed.
Yeah.
And then the wide angle lens, there's basically two tabs on the mount, and one of the tabs somehow snapped off. So there's only one tab that would be able to hold it in place on the case. And like I said, it still works. You would just kind of need to like make sure it didn't fall off.
Yeah. Very cool. So what do you want to do? Do you want them to email you, or do we want to do something on the Facebook group?
They could just hit me up. I'll put it in Facebook and they could just message me.
Sweet.
And it's got to be someone that lives in the U.S. though, not overseas.
And first come, first serve?
You betcha.
Sweet. All right.
Yep.
It sounds like Dave's phone is buzzing.
The thing is, it's not the cord, it's the phone.
Oh, okay.
Because I've had this with multiple cords in multiple locations where... And it honestly, I can't say it's the fact that this is a Plus phone and it's large, so I drop it now and then. I'm just klutzy. And this happened with my old 4S when it was getting near the end of its, I shouldn't say end of its life, but after a couple years, it seems like it just doesn't charge as well.
Uh-huh.
So it'll go in and out, even when I'm not moving it. So that's what's happening. It's kind of getting undone, buzzing.
Yeah.
Putting back in since I have it on mute overall.
Yeah. Yeah, that's technology. Woohoo.
Oh yeah.
What you been up to, Dave?
Besides train wrecking the podcast tonight.
Yeah.
I did get a chance to get out and do a little before all the leaves finally fell down and were on the ground recently. And one thing I noticed was I was trying to take a couple photos with Vivid HDR, the standalone version, not the one inside Pro Camera. And the photos just seemed a little muted compared to what I remember it was a while back. And I know they had an update, and I even tried going into the settings, and I know you can make adjustments to the photos before they're saved to kind of boost up the saturation a little bit and give it a little bit more of that artificial pop. And it still just wasn't quite there.
I have been getting horrible results with Vivid HDR lately, yeah. both with the standalone app and within Pro Camera. It's just, they're just awful, just terrible looking pictures. And I've been trying like the different modes, you know, like natural mm-hmm. and vivid and whatever the other one is. And I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on with it. It's like there's no like gradation in the colors. It's either like this one color or it's another color that's completely different. There's no like smooth gradation of colors. Everything just looks like garbage.
Yeah. Are the developers not upgrading, or are they trying new stuff, or is it just that the new phones or the new operating system is causing some of these apps to no longer, you know, work well?
I'm not sure. I mean, Vivid HDR, the standalone app, did just have an update just recently, like in the last couple weeks. Because what it was is they were having this issue where when you took a photo with it, colors weren't even close to accurate.
Yeah.
They were having this crazy issue where it was just like, I don't even know how to explain it, but it was like just colors were like way off. And so they addressed that in an update, and it was like their first update in quite a long time.
Yeah.
And so I was excited about it, and I remember trying it out like pretty much immediately after the update, and I was like, oh cool, it does work a lot better now. And then just I don't know, a week and a half ago or so, I was out shooting doing the fall color thing and a waterfall and stuff, and I thought I'd give Vivid HDR a go, and just awful, awful pictures.
Yeah, I mean, it got to the point where I tried to import in Snapseed and Light, trying to fix it somehow, and it just did not work at all. It was just the photos. I mean, the one turned out interesting, not necessarily good. Not what I was going for originally, but it would look kind of interesting. But yeah, it was more of trying something. I know Greg mentioned in chat about Lightroom Mobile doing a better job at HDR now. The only thing is that with my phone, with the 6 Plus, it doesn't do HDR built in like it can with the newer phones. So I can shoot in Lightroom Mobile and then use the different filters to make it HDR-ish, but it won't shoot in HDR. Which I'm guessing, I don't know if it's just a matter of, like I said, I know I just had a new battery put in the phone, so I'm trying to stretch the phone out as long as I can. But it's getting to the point where it's like, yeah, it's time to seriously consider which phone I'm going to be upgrading to.
The iPhone X.
Honestly, the only reason I'm like 90% at the 10. One thing that was kind of and a little related to the kind of the 10 versus the Plus, a coworker of mine was having a little problem with her phone today, and just not photo related, just in general, and she had a 5C.
Oh, gee, yeah.
And so she said, can you look at this and just see, I'm having trouble, you know, getting her Messenger started. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is what it looked like way back. And I was holding it next to mine. I'm like, yeah, this is tiny. Yeah.
I have one for work.
Oh.
A 5C?
Yep.
Wow.
I know. I'm waiting for the battery to go out so they can probably allow me to upgrade.
Yeah, but, that shouldn't even be legal.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, at the time, it was the, let's see, when I got it, I think it was the 5S was out. And
and so that was unapologetically plastic.
Yes. Yeah. unapologetically. Yeah. But yeah, that thing, that was the free version. Now, you know, if new guys at our work, they get the SE model, and I was like, oh man. So we'll see. We'll see what they do. All right, so let's go ahead and move into our feature, and I will hand it off to Dave. Well, actually, our focus point. Here we go. Come on.
Focus point.
All right, Dave.
Okay, thanks so much. Someone, fortunately, I don't have who posted it in chat.
It was Nigel O'Connell.
Thank you, Matt.
Sure.
Posted the podcast with Austin Mann, the Mac Power Users. And it was a good interview. It was very in-depth. His section was well over an hour. And he went, and it wasn't just because he did do the review of the, well, he did the 8 Plus a while back, and then the 10. Not just a review of that, but just different tips and hints that he did for just general shooting. And it was in my mind, it was a really good tutorial, but it wasn't necessarily I'm going to sit down, listen to something, and get some light listening out of the way. So if someone goes looking for it, just realize it's even if you, you know, do the speed up 1.5 or faster on the audio just to get through podcasts, it's still going to take you a while to get through it. A couple of things though that he mentioned about tips, I didn't realize. Well, one thing, the fact that he mentioned that he only uses live photos now, where in the past he used to turn it off. Especially for kids and other fast-moving subjects, especially since with iOS 11, now you can select the frame that's actually shown up. I think that's the biggest problem with either dealing with kids, small kids or pets. You're just trying to get that one time when they actually either look at the camera or stop moving enough, and that live photo gives you that ability to take it. And also it is kind of neat to take a picture and have that little bit of movement that goes on that the live photo captures.
Yeah.
That's a nice little touch. And sometimes it gives you nice little movements that you just weren't expecting. I took a picture of our two dogs on the couch, and I mean, it was a nice picture of the two dogs, but using live photo, right when I was taking the photo, or one dog, Jack, kind of just picked up his head. So using live photo, it looks like he's lying down. All of a sudden, he's kind of putting his head up, going like, hello, what's happening? Which had a nice little touch to just a normal photo. Another thing he mentioned was, and this is per Austin talking to Apple, that if you have one of the cameras with multiple lenses on it, and if you do a 1.5 zoom, it actually takes a little bit from each lens and merges this together when you actually get the final photograph.
Wait, this is in the live photo?
No, this is if you just take if you do a zoom.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if this is live or if live's off. He didn't specifically say. He was saying more of if you do a 1.5 zoom. So you're not going to the full 2x zoom where you're using the telephoto. You're kind of doing in between. It'll actually use both lenses and inside the camera merge it together somehow.
Okay, so you're talking using a... a plus.
Right, a plus or the 10.
So what it was is like they were kind of wondering like how did the phone achieve that? Because you have a wide angle lens at whatever it is, 28 millimeter, and then you have your telephoto lens at 52 millimeter. Neither one of them is a zoom. It can't zoom in or out. So how can you have a 1.5 times zoom? Is it doing this electronically? Is it technically like right. an electronic zoom rather than an optical zoom? And when he talked to Apple, he found out that it's actually basically doing like a computational thing where it's using information from both lenses to achieve that 1.5 times zoom.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, and that's something I really, you know, just knowing that, I figured Apple would push that a little bit more, because that's pretty powerful to happen on camera.
I'm waiting for the 30 times.
That's kind of like a pretty geeky thing, though. Like, how would they like market that as like a feature?
Well, I could see him saying, with a normal, cell phone camera, when you zoom in, you're just blowing up pixels and smoothing it out. But when you zoom between 1 and 2x, we use the whatever processor at the time to, you know, figure out what's the best photo and merge it together to put it into one. I mean, after all, they got with the portrait mode, they could actually show, well, this is with a 1.5 with, they can even use like the last version of the phone to say, you can look at here and it looks good, but with the new phone, you know, with the plus model here, you can see merging together, you have less pixelation or things are better in focus overall, something on that nature.
I guess I could see that.
I mean, they got geeky enough with the front-facing camera with the 10. And, I mean, mainly they use the Animoji, which we're all kind of waiting for that when you get your new phone, Matt, for you to do your Animoji karaoke there.
Yeah, it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a party pooper, I'm just saying.
All right,
Well, I would say the other thing that he mentioned, which was kind of a new concept for me, was when you're doing panoramic, because the way I've done it and the way I've seen everyone else do it was to kind of hold the camera away from your body and either slide down or rotate the camera almost at arm's length. And he used a term which I haven't heard. Just because it may be a common term. So he was saying how you want to rotate around the nodal point.
Yeah.
And we described it as the point where the light's actually focusing. I'm kind of familiar with that just from
it's
way back. But
it's the point where the light intersects with itself going through some lenses. So when it goes through a lens, if you go back to the days when like a 4x5 camera, when the light would come through the lens, it would invert. And that's why you always saw everything upside down and backwards. Well, there's a point where the lens is that the light goes through it, through the other side, but it crosses the other side of the frame. That's the point where he was saying that you want to pivot. But with our phones, it's like, it's so small, that's where, you know, you basically have to turn the phone in one spot instead of turning your body.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. The purpose of that is to try to eliminate parallax.
Yeah.
So basically, the closer that you can rotate a lens on its nodal point when you're doing a panoramic picture, the easier time the software will have in creating that panorama, because it won't have to try to like figure out all the weird little shifts in the perspective, basically.
Yep. So basically what you would need is a tripod with a very smooth swivel.
Well, yeah, but it's not quite that simple because the nodal point of the lens actually it needs to be mounted directly over the center of the tripod. So if you just slap a can't, like, let's not talk about iPhones for a second. You just take like a regular, like a DSLR, you slap it on a tripod and rotate it. You're still not on the nodal point. The nodal point's probably most likely going to be in front of the center of the tripod.
Yeah. Pretty much so, the body has to hang back behind the tripod.
Correct. I'm not an expert on this by any means, but there is like a way to figure out where the nodal point of a lens is. And then they do make like some sort of tripod head or something to that effect to where you can mount the camera on the nodal point.
I guess we would have to basically do trial and error by shifting it forwards or backwards and seeing what the image and whether or not the software is struggling or not.
Well, I think it, in terms of this particular podcast that Dave's talking about and what Austin Mann was talking about is that the Apple engineers have done a good job in like kind of eliminating this issue. So you mean
they cut my mistakes out?
Yeah, so basically you'll probably get a better result if you're able to hold your iPhone close to your body and kind of like rotate as little as possible, I suppose, to get your panorama versus holding the phone out at arm's length and kind of sweeping your arm. But Apple knows that, you know, people don't know about the nodal points and people don't, you know, they're going to hold their arm out and sweep it in an arc to get a panorama. So they've done a lot on the back end to compensate for that.
That's how I've always done it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think Apple wants another holding it wrong.
You know what? If they did say that in this, if this somehow became an issue and they said that, I would be like, hell yeah, I'd get behind that.
Let's see.
No panoramas for anybody but those that understand.
So Greg
actually mentioned. Oh, sorry.
So Greg says, hold the iPhone using your thumb and a finger. Thumb at the button and the other finger on top. Place them such that the lens is centered vertical between them so that you can rotate the phone on an axis created by your finger. So if you're using an 8 plus or a 7 plus or a 6 plus, you're screwed because unless you have very big hands, I guess.
I'm trying to do that a little bit now.
I could do it with the 7.
Yeah, I'm trying it right now. That's very, like, pretty much impossible to do with a plus size phone.
Yeah, so the 7, I can do that. I'll have to give it a try, but I'm curious to see what the results will be.
And I'm thinking it'll be doable with the 10 also.
So I'm just going to go out and say that I don't do panoramics very often. But when I do, I always have this nodal point thing like in the back of my head, and I always try to rotate on it if at all possible.
Yeah.
Now, I also say a lot of people don't even know that, and I hate to say, a lot of people don't even know the panoramic even exists.
Yeah.
I was at a birthday party over the summer, I want to say. And I, instead of using the panoramic for like a sweeping view, I used it for more like a scan across. to get a long picture going along. And it turned out pretty good. It was one of those, you know, like banners that said happy birthday. I forget who it was for, but it was so long, even doing sideways or even, you know, trying to do a widescreen shot, it wasn't big enough. So I kind of did a panoramic to do a sweep. And when I did it and showed it, they were like, wait a minute, our phones can do that too? And they either had, you know, Android or they had iPhones. I said, oh, yeah, just right here. And I showed them the panoramic setting. We're like, wow, I had no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels good that you can help someone out like that. But it's like, yeah, that's a major help at times, having that panoramic. So it'd be nice to that people would know about it.
How often do you guys sometimes get, you feel like when you're in a crowd and you say, oh, yeah, you can do this, or people will automatically kind of come up to you, go, oh, I know you're good with iPhones. Can you fix this? Or can you show me where? Do you guys get that a lot?
No, I don't.
I do.
I get it at work. Yeah. I get it at work because people know that. Because of the photography in general, and I'm just kind of the nerd of the group. So if anyone has any phone issues, a lot of times they'll come to me first.
Yeah, I get it a lot because of basically the photography part, but I'm sometimes the first line of defense when it comes to troubleshooting our equipment, and not because that's my job, but because I'm usually the one helping them learn it. And so they'll come to me. Hey, I want to be able to do this with my phone. Oh yeah. You just here, I'll show you where it's at. And then you can use it again. Or I'm like, yeah, I wish we could do that. You have to break them the bad news that, yeah, you can't do that on the phone. But, yeah, I when I listen to it's Austin. Yeah, Austin Mann. Mm-hmm. He mentioned something about the panoramic and that you can, you know, use the 2x zoom. And so I was like, oh man, that's great. And I'm like, okay. And so I went to try it and I'm like, wait a minute, where is it? I can't zoom. Why can't I? Oh, it's probably not for the 7 or the 8. It's probably only a dual lens thing. And so I was like, oh. But the tip about the panoramic, I was like, okay, I got to try that. So I thought it was pretty cool. Is there anything else that you guys wanted to bring up about it?
I think there was one other thing, and that's in the pop-up control panel.
Oh yeah.
Even if you don't have force touch, you can still do a long touch and it'll give you the context sensitive menu where you can go right to video, right to selfie, right to photo,
record, and slow-mo.
Right to time lapse, I think.
There's a slow-mo. Yeah.
But yeah, that just in terms of knowing that you don't have to unlock your phone even.
Yeah.
You can just flip up and then just kind of, okay, yeah. A selfie, record videos, record slow-mo, or just take photo. And yeah, just knowing that that's there, even if you don't have the, you know, if you have the force touch, it'll pop it up too, but you don't even need that to actually use it.
And even if the native camera app is up, I'll still use it. Sorry.
You lost me there, but okay.
Well, instead, you know, when you pull up the pop-up menu, you can choose. Yeah. But even if you're in the native camera app, you can actually still do the same thing.
The switch modes.
Instead of selecting the mode, you actually right there at your fingertips. Sorry, it was a long way to do a bad joke. It's late.
I appreciated it for some reason.
It's probably the crash and burn part. Oh.
Yeah, actually, I was just sitting back, just enjoying it.
Just like watching a NASCAR race.
That's right.
It was a little bit more enjoyable than that for me.
I don't know which is worse. All right. Well, very cool. I will have a link to the podcast in our show notes. Take a listen and check it out. I think they say they talk about iPhone photography not on a regular basis, but they do it every once in a while. So I'll have to go back and actually look through their archives to see what else they have. But I think that's, you know, I enjoyed the fact that, you know, they took iPhone photography or mobile photography in general a little seriously. And, you know, it wasn't this, oh, yeah, you know, I want to be able to, you know, take pictures, but if I really truly wanted to, you know, be a professional, you know, I'm gonna use this phone. But you know, since it's in my pocket, I'll go ahead and use it, and it's all right. I think they're doing okay. You know, it didn't feel, you know, patronizing or anything like that, or looked down upon like some other podcasts that I've listened to in the past, you know. So I'm glad to see that, you know, they're, you know, more in line with it. So, all right, let's go ahead and move into our post pick of the week. All right, it is the end of our weekly photo challenge, which was an experiment. It's not the first time we've done this, but this is the first time we've done it for a weekly photo challenge where Dave, Greg, and myself submitted some photos for you guys to download and manipulate and post them for our post pick of the week. And it is Dave's turn to pick. It's a daunting task, but to pick one image out of probably 30 or 40 images that have been submitted. So, Dave, take it away.
Yeah, it was my luck of the draw this week. And honestly, one thing that I got out of this week was the amount of different apps everyone use. And appreciate everyone putting up the app they used to actually make the edits and effects they were using. Some of them I'm kind of familiar with. Some of them I've never saw before and gave me something new to think about and maybe try. The one I picked was from Tim Murphy. It was the app he used was Photo Tropophilic.
Tropadelic.
Okay, that would make much more sense. Tropadelic. And it is of the truck that Greg gave, and it has a great 1970s, for lack of a better term, groovy feel to it.
Yes.
I could see it being almost a concert poster for a Grateful Dead concert. Just it really great job of taking a photo and just kind of going wild with the edits. So not necessarily making minor adjustments or giving a particular mood, which everyone did a great job on that too, but just saying, here's a photo, I'm going to edit it to where it's almost indistinguishable. You couldn't even tell what the original photo was, but just to give it a style of its own.
Yeah. Yeah,
so, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was looking at it going, wow, that it kind of, you know, the thing that popped in my head when I saw it was I was thinking, all right, it's a... Oh, what's his name? What's that show called? I told you what it was.
Fat Albert.
Yeah, Fat Albert. That was
that's
sort of
totally what it looks like.
What kind of popped into my head, and I was like, oh wow, yeah, that's pretty cool. I like the style. Of course, you know, I like old trucks, and especially ones that are dilapidated. But this, you know, took the dilapidation away, and you could tell there's a truck there, but you can't really tell the maker, the model, or anything like that. But I do like the difference in, you know, what it was and what it now is. What are your thoughts, Matt?
Yeah, I've never actually used this word to describe a picture before. This is entertaining. Like there's so much to look at.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I dig it. I've never really like considered this type of effect before. It's really pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like it would, you know, Greg said, Dave said, it looks like a Grateful Dead poster, and honestly this would make kind of a cool poster.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like it a lot. I think the colors are pretty cool. Like it just all kind of works together. I think it's really neat.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, Tim, congratulations. You are Post Pick of the Week. If you are interested in becoming Post Pick of the Week, go on to our Facebook group and look for our pin post, which is our weekly photo challenge. And that challenge runs for 2 weeks. And in the off week, we go to Instagram and choose from our hashtag Tiny Shutter to pick the in-between. But yeah, we typically will go for 2 weeks. Sometimes we've pushed it to 3 weeks. But I think we had plenty of submissions, and a lot of people just had a great time doing different things and using different apps. It was fun, and I think this is something we can definitely go back to and do again. So we'll see how that goes. So all right, so now it is time for us to pick another topic, and Dave, you had a suggestion. And it's probably one of those things that we will regret, but that is all right. What is it?
I figured, and this is more of the U.S. centric because Canada already had its Thanksgiving Day a while back. But with next Thursday being Thanksgiving, and just generally the time of year, you tend to get more treats and eats, a topic of food.
Yeah.
And I would say either in preparation or even or the finished product.
All right. So either preparation or finished product, but food is our weekly photo challenge.
Yep. And I would also say that if people are familiar with Alton Brown, he had earlier this year, I think, had his latest book out, and they did all their photography with an iPhone.
Oh, very cool.
From top-down perspective.
Alton Brown.
Mm-hmm. Formerly of Good Eats on the Food Network. And
everybody knows Alton Brown.
Apparently I don't.
Oh, come on, Joe. With the program.
I don't watch television. Come on. All right, so yeah. food is going to be our weekly photo challenge. Wow, I'm curious to see what we're gonna get.
Well, I would, like I said, it and think about and kind of a stepping on point. It's amazing if you go into, I would say, use macro mode for getting some of the up close looks. I know Ruth's making lady locks, if you're familiar with the cookie. And you basically start off with kind of a flaky shell that you do a filling for. And just kind of thinking, you know, end-on shots of like the before they're filled tubes, up close, or just something on that nature. So, yeah, go wild.
Cool. All right. Well, very good. I'm looking forward to this. And if you guys have any suggestions or anything like that, let us know. But look for that pinned post and start adding your photos. Mm-hmm. All right, gentlemen, is there anything else that you guys would like to bring up?
Nope.
Nope, good here.
All right, well, let me go ahead and play this.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Barely.
Matt, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
All right, you can check me out on Twitter and Instagram at mhoffmanphoto.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on and hanging out with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah. Dave, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
Sure, you can find me on Instagram as ProfPod.
Awesome. You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. You can find the show, links to our show notes, our Facebook and YouTube channel. Yeah, Facebook page and YouTube channel by going to tinyshutter.com and participate with us on Facebook. It's a lot of fun. How many people do we have right now signed up for Facebook?
Oh my goodness, a gazillion.
That sounds good. We actually, a nice round number of 1450.
All right.
1,450.
Sweet. Yeah, we're...
So I was close.
Yeah. A bazillion. Yeah. Yeah, we've had a lot of people. It was like 2-3 times probably. Yeah, about 3 times a day we'll get submissions to join the group. So we're...
3 times a day?
Well, okay, it's more. Sorry.
Yeah. Like, for instance, it says right now, you have 59 new members this week.
Yeah. Yeah, 2 or 3, you know, a day.
Yeah. I forget what day it was. It was like maybe Sunday or something. I think I had approved 12 people by like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Wow. Yeah. Saturday is when I post the show. And so I can see why Sunday would be a heavy invite day.
Yeah. It's good stuff. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you guys are still on the fence about joining our Facebook group, don't hesitate. Jump on over. Just make sure that you clear the top of the fence. And in the off chance that somebody does come in that either wants to cause trouble or wants to try to sell us stuff, we are pretty good about booting them off. And so, you know, this is a great place for people to come and hang out and have fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
All right, gentlemen. Well, I think we have ourselves a show. So, why don't you guys give your salutations and we will get out of here. Start with you, Dave.
Oh, thanks so much, everyone, for listening, and have a glorious week.
All right, everybody. Bye-bye.
We will see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
Kowalski, what's our trajectory?
95% certain this will end in massive, flaming disaster.
And the other 5%?
Irrelevant, sir.
I thought you were dead.
Oh, no. I told you. Well, I fibbed a little bit, but don't be mad.
Your behavior is completely inappropriate.